Good evening, sisters. Wow. I feel like I am finally here. You know? And I just want to start by saying thank you to every single one of you, because you've all been part of our journey, you know, just being able to get here. And it's been an incredible journey. God has done some amazing things. He has moved in my heart. He has definitely transformed me in many ways, and that's what we're going to be talking about this evening. You know, transformation is an amazing thing. You know, we've been learning how to drive in Georgia. We're learning many new things, you know, and you know, today I got my driver's license. So I was just telling Lisa, I have freedom now. I can move around without having to wait for my husband or for anyone to come and take me where I need to go. But you know, because we drive on the other side of the road, you know, where I come from. And this is my first time ever to drive on this other side of the road. And there were times I tried, you know, and I found myself on the opposite side. And I mean, there's been times we've just come back home and we're in awe of just God's salvation and just how He's rescued us and saved us, you know? But one of the things I've had to think about over and over again is how I have to now really pay attention. You know, before that, I mean, I've been driving for many years and I've not needed to make, you know, just any, you know, I mean, to pay any attention to what I'm doing, because then it becomes an automated thing. But now I have to pay attention to everything, to all the signs, to exactly where I'm going to turn into. And I can see, as the more I do it, the more I'm getting, you know, confident and better at it. And, you know, I find that I don't actually have to pay that much attention, even though I still do need to. So please pray for me, you know, as we do this. But I can see the transformation of which side of the road I need to be driving on, you know, coming slowly but surely. But you know what? Transformation does take time. I'm still waiting for everything to bloom. You know, in spring, I'm like, it's taking a little bit long. Maybe I'm just impatient because I just can't wait to see what happens. You know, but it's taking just, you know, little by little, little by little. And I don't know when full bloom comes, but that's transformation. Now, tonight, I want us to talk about empowered transformation. Empowered transformation. And before we get on, let's go to God in prayer. Our dear Lord in heaven, we come before you to praise you. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be your children. Father, we all know where we started, especially for those of us that, you know, that know you in a personal way. And Lord, we have seen you change us. We've seen you transform us from one thing to the other. And we just want to give you praise. And Lord, we know that we can also reach, you know, just different points of our lives, and we can get stuck, and we can stop just allowing you to change us and to transform us from within. Lord, we know that none of us can ever comprehend all the things that you have in store for us. But Lord, we do not want to miss any of it. And we pray that even as we get to look at your word tonight, that you will truly speak to our hearts. Help us, Father, to just be in touch with exactly where we are at, so that we can be able to connect with you, so that you can be able to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we need you so much. We know that we cannot even live a second of our lives without your help. And Lord, we are calling on you tonight to truly just be with us, guide us through this time. I pray that, Lord, you use me. I pray that this wouldn't be about me, but that truly it can be about you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our God. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And, you know, before I go on, I just want to say thank you for just your love. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for the drives. Thank you for the warmth. Thank you for the support. Above all, truly, thank you for just accepting us and just loving us and helping us feel at home. Amen. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. You know, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." You know, tonight, I would like us to talk about Esther. I don't know how many of you have read the book of Esther, you know, but I think it's an amazing book. I know it's actually one of, I think the only book actually in the whole Bible that God's name is not mentioned. But it's a Bible, it's a book that you see God in, you know, every step of the way. And, you know, just reading it, you know, just a few days ago as I was getting ready for this lesson, just truly helped me see how this scripture in Jeremiah actually came true in Esther's life. You know, from the beginning, you know, as you read through, you know, you see how God moved to bring Esther to her royal position so that she could be able to save God's people. And, you know, I don't know why Queen Vashti, I was actually reading that, I'm like, oh, wow, she must have been Indian, you know. But I don't know why Queen Vashti refused to go to be displayed to the dinner guests. Maybe she was already tired. I mean, this king, King Xerxes, had been displaying the wealth of his kingdom, I think, for 187 days. And I'm sure she was in the midst of all the preparations and organization. And then finally, when he was going to serve, you know, just meals, you know, for a whole week, you know, she was asked to come and be displayed in front of the guests. So I don't know why she didn't want to show up, but maybe she was tired. Maybe she was feeling like, you know what, I have had it. This is too much. I can't do this. Or maybe she was shy. Maybe it was just a very simple reason, you know, of why she didn't want to go. But I don't know why. But I want to believe that God had to do, I had everything to do with it. You know, maybe God just made her feel that way. Maybe he just put her to sleep. I don't know, for that particular moment. And then we see Esther, you know, she was an orphan. And, you know, but she was adopted by her uncle Mordecai, who just, you know, pulled her into his home and raised her as one of his children. He loved her just like one of his own. And again, I believe that God had everything to do with that. God was instilling love. God was just building a confidence in this young girl, you know, for his very purpose. And, you know, the Bible says that Esther was a beautiful young woman with a lovely figure. Now, I don't know how she looked like, but you can imagine. You know, she was a beautiful girl. And again, God had to do with that. You know, in Esther chapter 2, from verse 8 to 9, it says, when the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The girl pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. This is amazing, yeah? She's going to just be lavished with the best of this country. You know, again, God had to do with all this. God made sure that Haggai, you know, found favor in Esther so that he could be able to just give her the very best and bring out the best in Esther. You know, in verse 17, the king ends up, you know, more attracted to Esther than any of the other girls. Now, I want to imagine that if any girl was to be brought up to be displayed to the king, they must have all been very beautiful girls, isn't it? But I also want to believe that, you know, there was something more about Esther that the king was able to see. Actually, if you read that whole passage, it talks about how, you know, Haggai actually noted. He noted Esther. He saw something that was different about her. You know, and I just want to believe, sisters, that, you know, for us who are seated in this room, there is something special about you that God has seen, that God has noticed. And I also want to believe that your whole life, all that God has done has been to bring you to exactly where you are today. And I don't know everything that you're going through. I know one of the things I'm looking forward is just to getting to know you and to get to hear your story, because we all have a story. We all have been to many different places. But I believe that God has guided you and he has just, you know, reached out to you in special ways. I believe he has put in a lot in you to bring you to this very day, to this very moment where we all are at today. You know, becoming a disciple for me was something that I see that God actually put together. You know, after college, one of the things I took was French. Now, I will not tell you why I took French. you know, as a language. Because, you know, in Kenya, you know, we actually speak many languages. I speak, you know, two other languages besides English. You know, but French was one of the subjects that I had an interest in. And, you know, my dad used to work with the United Nations, and his goal was, you know what, I can get you to do something here. And so if you have an extra language, then you can actually be able to get a job, you know, with the United Nations. And so I believe that's why I did it. But, you know, this is actually where I ended up, you know, being met as a disciple. And I actually would go to the library just to borrow French books so that I could do some extra studies, you know, and I met this young man who was a disciple. And he really stood out to me. Just his life was so different. And he reached out to me. I ended up going for Bible talk, and I never stopped coming to church. And here I am, you know, 25 years later. You know, but I see that, you know, just even having that little interest, or my dad saying whatever he said was just a plan for me to be able to end up, you know, knowing him and having a relationship with him. And I'm sure that you have your story of how God reached out to you, of how he pulled many things together so that he could be able to reach out to you and transform your life into becoming his daughter. And so none of us is here by accident. You know, God has purposed you in a way, and your life in a way that you will be right here, that you would be here today in this age that is so different. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, how are we going to survive today? You know, because everything is so different. But you know what? God has a plan for you and for me. You know, for God to use Esther, you know, she had to go through a transformation. You know, God doesn't just do it. It doesn't just, you know, give it to you. And I believe there are some things that you've been asking for and praying for many, many, many years, and hoping that, you know what, this would happen and that would happen. And I don't know about you, but there was a time I felt like, you know what, God didn't actually like me very much. And I felt like, you know, oh, I don't think he answers my prayers. Because then I compared my life with other people. And I felt like, wow, but whatever they ask for, you know, God just answers their prayers. And I felt like, you know, Lord, do you even hear my prayers? You know, but you know what? I was wrong. You know, several years ago, I had to just really get on my knees and humble myself before God and ask him for forgiveness. Because when I look at my whole entire life, I see that God has been there and he has cared for me and he has loved me in many, many different ways. And so for us to get that transform, for us to get what, you know, God wants to do in our lives, sisters, we must get transformed. Transformation must happen. Now, my first point is that fear is a key enemy of transformation. Fear is a key enemy of transformation. I know we are all women in here. Now, I want to imagine that some of us don't experience fear. Am I right? Is there anyone in here that doesn't experience fear in their lives? Yeah? So I'm not alone. Okay? So, you know, in Esther chapter 3, if we can go to chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so they would be ready for that day. This was serious. They were not joking. The king was actually not joking. And of course, you know, Naaman had something to do with all this. And so spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the king of Susa was bewildered. Esther chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Verse 4, and we read all the way to 17. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went on to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay him, to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict of the annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any woman, any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." You know, for Esther to go out and carry out Mordecai's instructions, it meant that, you know what, she could face imminent death. She could actually be slaughtered. She could be dead right here. You know, it would be totally inhuman for her not to experience fear at this point, you know? And her fear resulted in her not even considering the possibility of what God could do through her in this situation. And her answer, her simple answer was, "I can't. I actually cannot do what you're asking me to do. Come up with another solution. Come up with another plan. I am not going to be part of this plan." And you know, I don't know about you, but there's many times that we've responded in this way to God, where we just felt like, you know what, I can't. I cannot do it. And you know, when I think of my life, I think of many times where this was my response. And a lot of times, I can attribute it to fear. I think of, you know, just us being here. You know, my husband actually started having this dream many years ago, more than 10 years ago. And, you know, he would say to me, "This is what I'd like to do." And let me tell you, fear would grip me. I would not even know what to do. I would argue with him. It would end up being a fight that we would actually have to go sit somewhere and resolve. And for me, you know, it was a fear of what will people think. You know, we're Africans. We're in the ministry. How can we possibly even think of leaving our own country and going to another place? People will think we're looking for comfort. You know, just so many things will go through my mind. You know, do they approve of it? And it would just grip me, and I'd be like, I'd actually try to convince my husband that was not God's will. And year after year, it was the same thing. And there was this nagging thing in him that just would not go away. And he kept talking about it. And sometimes he would just withdraw from it. But then I discovered that he'd actually either been praying or he'd actually be trying something, you know, to see what was going to happen. And even when, you know, I mean, things happened in Nairobi, and I'm telling you, God really moved to move us from Nairobi. And I remember him saying, "The U.S., you know, that's where we need to go." And I was like, "Honey, No, let's think of something else. You know, I'm sure God has another plan. And I still remember one of our daughters just, you know, rolling on the floor and saying, you know what, no way, we're not going. And I guess she was imitating her mother's faith or her mother's fears. You know, but again, you know what, it's amazing because God always has a plan. It has to happen at his time. But, you know, all these years, God started working through my heart. And the main thing that I can tell you that God has been showing me over and over again is my fear. And I see a lot of my responses to things, you know, whether it's, you know, just responding to something in anger or insecurity, you know, or pride or criticalness or just arguing, resentment, you know, just withdrawing from relationships. I see that the culprit of these emotional responses a lot of times is fear. That's the thing. Even as we've moved here and my husband has been driving, and I mean, it's so, driving here is very different. I'm telling you, you'll have to go to an African country, and especially where I come from, Kenya, and you will understand exactly what I mean. People do not observe rules. No, people don't observe rules. So you have to know how to operate as you're driving. You have to know how the other driver is going to, you know, respond. I know that's one of the things you learn here, as you learn how to drive. But in Nairobi, where I come from, that's the usual. You know, that somebody might just come at you and you're not expecting them to come. So you learn how to drive like that. And so as he's learned how to drive, you know, there's still a little bit of that, you know, aggressive, you know, type of driving. And I'm just terrified. And I'm like, honey, you know, we're going to just be dead. And I'll constantly be saying, you're too close this way. Or, come on, honey, you need to stop. And we just started arguing. And I just stopped, you know, just took a pause. Sometimes you just have to take a pause. And I realized the reason I was reacting the way I was reacting was fear. Yeah. I was actually getting gripped with fear. And I had to say to him, honey, I am scared. I feel really terrified. I feel like we're just going to get into an accident. You know, and doing that really helped him. And all he said was, then we just need to pray. We need to pray for peace, for you to feel peaceful. And we need to pray for just God's safety. And that's what we've been doing. And I'm telling you, it's so much better. Amen. And, you know, and so we fear many things. When we are faced with uncertainty or threat, when we feel hurt, when we feel pain, when we feel betrayed, when there's impending danger, isn't it? When there's abuse in our lives, when we don't feel safe. The most natural way to respond is fear. And you know, I believe that a big part of that fear helps protect us. God uses that fear to show us when something is not going right, even in relationships. Yeah. God is trying to show you that there's something here that needs to be addressed. Yeah. But you know, we can actually give into that fear and forever withdraw, so we don't have close relationships with each other, and so we can miss out God's plan for us as women, because God wants us to have close relationships with each other. Or we can actually look at that fear as an opportunity to bring about an amazing transformation, yeah, whether it's in us or in the other person. And so, you know, when Esther faced this incredible challenge in her life, she responded in fear. And when she responded in fear, then she had a plan. And she said, you know what, I actually can't do this. So basically, her plan was to escape, yeah? Was to just, you know, remove herself and to say, there's no way. It cannot be me. It has to be another way, but it's not going to be me. And, you know, when fear consumes our hearts, sisters, then we take control. Isn't it? That's what I've been trying to do with my husband. Is, you know what, I feel scared, so what do? I want to control. I almost want to tell him how to drive. And actually he said it, and he said, you know, I feel like you're policing me. Yeah. And I was getting angry that he said that. I'm like, how can you even say that? I'm just trying to help. Yeah? Isn't that how we feel? I'm just trying to save us from dying. You know, but I was trying to be in control. I was trying to drive, even though I'm not the driver. And that's what fear does to us, is that we end up taking up or even doing things that actually can be very harmful to us. Things that God doesn't want us to embark on in the name of what? Of protecting ourselves. And we end up really missing out on what God is trying to do. You know, Hebrews 11:1 in the NLT translation says, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I love this translation. Yeah? It says that, you know, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. You know, fear steals your hope. It steals your faith. Yeah? The opposite of fear is actually what? It's faith. Yeah? Where you look at a situation and you can't see what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. I think as women, a lot of times, and as human beings, we want to know what's going to happen. We want to see what's going to happen. But, you know, in that sense, then we wouldn't need to grow in any way. We wouldn't even need to trust God. We wouldn't need to look within ourselves and to say, what is God saying to me? Because then everything will actually just be happening without us needing to wonder what's going to happen next. But God leaves it. He leaves a lot of things in our lives in a way that we actually don't know what's going to be happening next or tomorrow. Yeah, and isn't that how life is? You know, and I know there's been times where I'm working on something and I'm striving to grow in a certain area. And then God answers that prayer. And it's amazing how quickly something else emerges, isn't it? That calls me to continue working on myself and to continue working on my faith and to continue working on my dependence on God. And I just see how much God loves me and how much He wants to be working in my life and to be working in me for His own glory. In Mark 1:27, this is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. It says that with all things, with God, all things are possible. Actually, it says, not with God. All things are possible with God. You know, when we give into faith, then what do we see? This can't happen, isn't it? I can't do this. There's no God in that. You know, but when we are faithful, then we are able to look at whatever situation that is there, and we are able to say, you know what, God, you can do it. With you, all things are possible. I don't know how it's going to happen, and I don't even have to worry about how it's going to happen, but you are going to do it. You know, coming here, you all know the journey, but I know you are on this side. You know, we were on the other side, and we'd be waiting, and there were times that waiting was so hard. It was literally painful. And it was a kind of a situation that we could do absolutely nothing about. We couldn't walk into an office. You know, in Africa, you know how things work. And I'm sure there's some of that here too, is you go talk to somebody that you know to help you to move something. To help you to get you a document signed or something like that, because there's so much corruption. And so you have to rely on people that you know. But you know what? In this situation, we didn't know nobody, isn't it? Yeah, now we knew you guys and we knew that you were praying, but oh my goodness, there was no way we could go talk to anyone. And even trying to talk to anyone could have jeopardized the whole situation. So we just had to sit and wait. Sit and wait. And there were days that it felt like we were going to be waiting forever. You know, it was hard. But let me tell you, the lessons that we learned were amazing. God basically was teaching us to just trust Him and to trust in His timing and to trust and to know that if this is what He wanted for us and for this church, then He was actually going to do it. And no one was going to stop it. Nobody was going to stop it. God was and is in control. You know, fear can actually help us to turn our entire focus on God and give Him the opportunity to do the impossible through you. Fear can actually make you or help you to focus on something in your life that maybe you are not even thinking of. You know, so when something happens that makes you feel fearful, then what should that do for us? We should then look within ourselves and see what is God trying to do. What is God trying to transform in me? And that's why a lot of times we want to work on the outward. We want to work on the other person, isn't it? We want to work on making sure, for those of us who are married, we want to make sure our husbands are just what they need to be, or our children, that they're acting well, they're behaving well. And again, in these situations, there's nothing much we can do because we cannot change anyone else apart from us. And so when we feel fear, sisters, I want to encourage us to look within ourselves and to be able to say, what's the emotion? What is it that I need to be dealing with right now? You know, Esther had probably also forgotten all that she had been through, isn't it? And ways that God had saved her and taken care of her. You know who she was, and she probably had gotten comfortable as queen. I mean, this woman, this girl was just being lavished and taken care of. She didn't have to worry about one thing. And now Mordecai is trying to get her worried. And she's like, you know what, please, just leave me alone. You know, I can't do what you're asking me to do. I'm actually okay right here. You know, comfort has a way of making us not grow. And isn't that what we are constantly looking for? Yeah, we are constantly looking for a little bit more comfort, isn't it? When you think of, you know, just your life and the things that you wake up and do, you know, the things you're trying to get, even technology, what is it appealing to? A lot of times is more and more comfort, isn't it? Yeah. Just the touch of a button and you have everything you need. You know, it's been amazing for us. I mean, all you need to do is have a phone and internet and you just touch and you know exactly how to get there, isn't it? And it's great. It's actually awesome. But for me, I feel a little bit challenged because I feel like my brain, I don't want my brain to stop working. Yeah. I want to be able to think, yeah, of which way I need to go. Yeah, if this GPS wasn't available, what would I do? I would have to rely on, yes, my brain. But you know, sisters, we'd also have to really rely and depend on God. And so we have to be careful that we're not allowing too much comfort to come into our lives, because then, you know, will we need God the way that we need to need him? You know, would we need each other the way that we need to need each other and to be able to connect and have those relationships that God wants us to have? So, you know, Esther was probably very comfortable where she was at. You know, our journey, like I shared earlier on, you know, of coming here has been nerve-wracking, but one that has transformed our lives in many ways, and not just us, but our children and other people in our lives as well. My second point, I don't know how much time I have. Am I done with time? Okay. You know, my second point is you cannot be transformed on your own. And I may not read everything, but, you know, I think we actually read this already. You know, in chapter 4, verse 12 to 17, you know, Mordecai doesn't hold back in saying exactly what he needs to say to Esther, you know, and he sends word and he says, you know what, tell her, okay, that God is actually able to find salvation for the Jews from another place, yeah, but don't think, Esther, don't think that you are going to be spared just because you're queen. Remember who you are, okay, remember who you are. And you know, Esther needed Mordecai in her life to remind her exactly who she was and exactly what she needed to do. You know, at times we can be so low in our faith that we just need someone else to say it to us. Have you been to those places? You know, and I can think, you know, of several times in my life where I just needed someone else. I knew what God was trying to do. I knew what he had been saying for years, but I just needed somebody else to say it to me. Okay? And I still remember when, you know, we came to the realization that we needed to adopt our second-born daughter, you know, Stephanie. And I remember just going to see this woman, a dentist, and she had adopted a girl. And I just asked her simply, so how is your daughter doing? And and our conversation actually for the next hour was based on that question. And I remember telling her, oh, that's something we'd like to do someday, you know, someday. And she said, why someday, you know? And I said, oh, we actually can't do it right now. Our finances are not where they need to be. And she said, oh, but God owns everything. And those children, those babies belong to him. And I had all kinds of reasons. And I said, oh, we're trying for our second child and maybe after that. And she said, why don't you sandwich her? Why don't you put her in the middle? Or him in the middle, the baby you're going to adopt. And she said to me, you know, just think of making that a difference to that one. Just one. And I'll be honest with you, adoption is not a very common thing in Africa, at least not where I come from. It's actually looked down on. If you adopt, people will be looking at you like, what's wrong with you? And they'll even say you went and bought a child. That's how they view it. And there was fear. There was a lot of fear in me, and there was a lot of fear in my husband, especially because of his family. And so this woman is talking to me. She was actually a non-Christian. But you know what? By the time I got home and I woke up the next morning, I still remember where I knelt down to pray. And I was scared to death because I knew that that was the time for us to adopt. And within, and I did an Esther fast. I prayed for 3 days for God to transform my husband's heart. And after 3 days, we were on our way to an orphanage. And in 3 months, Stephanie was home. So I see how God actually used that woman to say to me something that I needed to hear to do God's will in our lives. The other thing we did is homeschooling. If you tell anyone in Zambia that you're homeschooling, they look at you like, what? Like your children stay at home? They don't go to school? What is that? It's just... And we knew we needed to homeschool our kids because Stephanie was about to get into her fourth school in 2 years because it wasn't just working. And we met this woman, and I was terrified, and I couldn't imagine having my kids home 24 hours, especially because one of them likes to talk, and I thought, I'm just going to die, you know? I can't do this, you know? And I remember her, and we had fear just on... How are we going to do this? How are they going to respond to homeschooling? And this woman just looked at me. She looked at us and she said, have faith. God can do it. It's not that difficult. That's all she said. And we knew exactly what we needed to do. And so you know what, sisters? God will use people to say exactly what we need to hear in order to do what God wants us to do. Are you listening to those that God is sending to you? You know, Esther could have said, oh, look at this old Mordecai man. What does he know? He has no idea what I'm going through. He has no clue, you know, how it is for me. He doesn't know exactly what could happen to me. What if his plan is just a crazy idea? You know, she could have thought all those things. But she was a humble girl. And I think that's the quality that God saw in Esther right from the beginning. She listened and she allowed input and she allowed herself to be influenced in a way that God could use her in an amazing way. And you know what? It's incredible because all Esther had to do was obey and just ask the king out for dinner, isn't it? Now she ended up to do it in a lavish way. She did it twice, 2 days straight. I guess this king liked to party, you know? I think so. You know, and so she did that. But that's all she had to do. She just had to go and ask. Go and request. That's all God was asking her to do. And you know, sisters, a lot of times the things God is asking us to do are so simple. It's just in black and white. Why are we not doing it? Why are we resisting God? Why are we not listening to God and to what he's wanting us to do? But we have to think about what we're going to lose out on. We have to think about what we're going to miss if we don't hear God's voice. And at times God will use people. At times God will use our own children, isn't it? Kids have a way sometimes of speaking to us and saying things to us. Are we going to listen? Are you listening to God's voice? Have you calmed yourself enough to be able to hear God? You know, Proverbs 18:24 says that, you know what, a man of many companions will come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have those kinds of friends? Do you have a friend in your life that sticks closer to you than a brother? Do you have those kinds of women in your life who are impacting you and transforming your life, and they're walking with you and they're encouraging you and they're calling you higher in your faith? We need to look out for these kinds of women. We need to pray for them. We need to ask God to show us who these women are going to be. Otherwise, sisters, we may come to ruin if we don't do this. God speaks through people. you know, finally the power of unity. You know, in verse 15, obviously Esther, you know, is convinced of what God wants her to do, and she asks Mordecai to gather all the Jews and pray and fast for her. And she herself decides to pray and fast, you know, with her attendants. And we see what God does. We see how God is able to hear those prayers. You know, the same verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 12, says that, you know what, God is going to hear us. If we pray to him, if we seek him, and if we cry out to him, he will listen. And he will respond to us. You know, are we praying? Are we in there? Are we on our knees, sisters, crying out to God? When was the last time you fasted for God to do something amazing in your life? When was the last time? I know that we can look at it as, oh, it's being legalistic. But sisters, it's a biblical quality. You know, fasting and just intense prayer where you join in with someone else shows God that you're serious. And you know, God wants us to be united. You know, I love Matthew 18, 19 to 20. It talks about how when two or three gather in his name, there he is with them. There is so much power when we come together, when we join in with another person and we say, let's pray about this together. Let's encourage each other. You know, because, you know, God doesn't want to do a singular transformation. No. He wants to transform us together. He wants to make it even more impactful. Yeah? Who are you being transformed with? I think one of the ways that we can truly just allow God to transform us in amazing ways and impact someone else is by doing it with another person. And you know what? I find it easier to fast with another person because then I know, oh, they're doing it with me. It may be challenging, it may be tough, but she's also fasting with me, isn't it? And it's amazing. God hears those kinds of prayers when you cry out to him and when he sees that we're willing to come together and to be united for him to do things in our lives. You know, in verse 16c, you know, at the end of it, you know, Esther's words are what? And if I perish, I perish. You know, Esther was afraid to die at the beginning. Now, she's ready to die. She's a transformed woman. What changed her? Just simple obedience. Simply listening to God and saying, you know what? Yes, I'm scared. I'm fearful. But I'll be humble. And I will listen. And I will allow God, you know, to do his thing. And all she had to do was go for a party. Was actually dress up. She looked amazing. Yeah, if you read the rest of the book, you know, and the king obviously saw her. He didn't kill her like she had anticipated, but he extended the scepter to her. And all she had to do was respond to the king and answer him because the king asked, what can I do for you, Queen Esther? Even up to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you if that's what you want. The power of prayer. The power of unity, the power of obedience, the power of faith and not giving in to fear, sisters. You know, if Esther could have just cowed down, she would never have realized what she was able to realize at this time. Imagine how she was feeling when the king listened to her and just acted to save the Jews. Imagine that. Imagine the transformation. Imagine how the faith of the Jews was built as a result of just her simply choosing to obey and to respond to God. And so I pray that tonight, sisters, that we can all look at our lives and realize that God wants to use you. You may feel like, oh, but I'm not an Esther. Oh, yes, you are. If you're seated here, you are an Esther, and God wants to use you in your own life in an amazing way and in the lives of so many for the saving of many. So, you know what, salvation for the Jews could have come from somewhere else, but God chose to use Esther, okay? And so tonight, he wants to choose you. I want to encourage us to look at two areas of our lives. I know we've been talking about transformation. This whole year, we're going to hear this word, isn't it? And I know the brothers and the sisters who've shared have talked about this. But what are those areas in your life that need transformation in? Maybe you need to look at fear and how fear is stopping you. And then, you know, one of the things that helps me is to write these things down and to pray about them every day. But then I want to encourage you to look for a sister that's close by or a woman that's close by to you that you can partner with and pray together Maybe you can meet every week or every other week, and you don't even have to meet up. You can have a time that you agree to just pray together and to pray for each other and to empower each other by praying for each other. I want to encourage you to have some time to pray and fast. Strengthen each other, sisters. There's so many needs. We have so many needs, even in our own congregation. And I believe God can do amazing things if we just cry out to Him. I love you very much, and thank you for listening to me, and I really look forward to getting to know you. Amen. Yeah.